That better? Ah, now I can hear myself. That might be dangerous. It really is a privilege to be with you, and thanks for the great greeting that you gave to Crystal several years ago when she was here. And it's just I look forward to coming today and being with you. I understand you're in a series called How's It With Your Soul? That's a great question. And I hope that this message today will become a part of that as well. In fact, I really believe that what we're talking about today is the essential element of making things well with our soul. When you think about it, the whole idea of being well with our soul, it's not about being healthier necessarily, but it's about making room for the presence of Jesus in our lives. And the presence of Jesus is manifested in our midst, in our lives, by the Holy Spirit. I remember as a college student trying to understand, okay, what are these dynamics that are going on? Is it Jesus who lives in me? Is it the Holy Spirit who lives in me? You know, these were serious questions I was asking myself. And I came to understand that it is the Spirit of God who lives in us, but he manifests Jesus in our lives, so people see Jesus in us, who's the hope of glory. And so seeing Jesus in our lives is really important, and we want our lives to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus to others. So I want to speak to you today about the control of the Spirit of God. And for those of you who are listening who do not have an insert, it might be helpful if you would just take a piece of blank paper, because at the end, I want to ask you to consider signing a consent form. At the top of a blank page, it'll say consent form, and at the bottom, it'll say signature. And we've got that here with us today in the form of an insert. And I'm going to ask the congregation to consider signing that at the end of our time. But I would like to read the passage of Scripture that forms our text today. It's from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And I'll be reading from verses 15 through 21. This happens to be the English Standard Version, the ESV, but it's very, very close to the NIV, and you can follow along as I read. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. I'm sorry, would you stand for the reading of God's word? I meant to ask you to stand. I'll start over again. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. When I think of this series that you're going through and the things that you'll be challenged to think about, forgiveness, truly understanding our identity in Christ, and perhaps, I don't know if you've come to that point yet, but overcoming family patterns of sin in your life. How do you do those things? Where's the energy come from? Where's the enabling come from to do that? It comes from the control of the Holy Spirit. But there are a lot of people who don't do what God wants them to do. It reminds me of a memo that was sent to a business. Now, this is facetious, okay. So in the memo, it said it's been reported to the management that people have been dying on the job, and this has to stop because it's too difficult for us to know who has died and who's still working. Thank you for laughing at that. But I don't mean if you've had a loss recently, please don't think I'm mocking you or making fun in any way. But it really makes a point, doesn't it, that sometimes it's difficult to tell the difference between those who are believers in Christ and those who aren't. Now, a lot of reasons for that. Perhaps people are finding it difficult to do what God wants them to do. They haven't been challenged as you have in this series. Perhaps it's ignorance on their part. They just don't know what God wants them to do, what God expects of them. It could be disobedience, though. It could be, I know what God wants, but I don't want to do that. And sometimes the truth is, as you've often heard it said, that we are educated beyond our level of obedience, that we really know more than we do in our lives. But I wonder if one of the reasons that we can't tell the difference between believers and unbelievers is they haven't discovered what it means to be filled and controlled by the Spirit of God. So if we're going to do what God wants us to do, it's important that we be filled with the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God takes control, and that he will manifest Jesus. And you'll be healthier spiritually, but more important than that, the presence of Jesus will be seen in your life. And that's what it's all about in this relationship that we have. So in order to do what God wants us to do, we have to surrender completely to the control of the Spirit of God. Now, in doing that, it's not as difficult as it may seem. There'll be obstacles in the path, and you're covering some of those in your study through this sermon series. But I think that for a lot of us, when it comes to control, we are controlled by our need to control. Have you ever experienced that? Where I was talking to someone just recently, and they were describing, even as an adult, the family is still in control of the decisions this person is making. And there's a lot of control that happens in many different situations. But when it comes to our own selves, we're often controlled by our need to control. And that says something about something that's happening in us that maybe needs to be fixed. But if you and I are to do what God wants us to do, we need to surrender complete control of our lives to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want to talk about that just in three simple thoughts that come from this passage of Scripture to do what God wants us to do. And so as you think about it from this text of Scripture, particularly verses 17 and 18, but to do what God wants us to do involves the surrender to the Holy Spirit. But in thinking about that, in order for us to do what God wants us to do, we have to understand the purpose and plan of God. Do you notice in verse 17 where it says, don't be unwise, but be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is? Now, God's got a plan. He's got a plan for this world. He's not done. And when that plan is complete, all these things will be rectified, justice will come to be, and on and on. The things that we are deeply concerned about, God is greater. He's in control. He knows what he's doing. But we just haven't seen the end of it yet. But in that will of his, there are a number of verses that speak generally about the will of God. The Bible tells us God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it is the will of God that salvation come to us. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, God wants you to come to know him through his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. If you think that it's because you're good, it isn't outweighing your bad, it has nothing to do with that. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. So Jesus died on the cross for you, for your sin. And if you will trust in him and what he did for you, you can be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And perhaps you can ignore anything else I'm saying today if you do not know Christ and simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior, and I want you to be my Savior. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. As many as you received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. It's God's will that people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. It's also God's will, if you'll notice in one of the verses at the bottom of the insert from Romans 12, it's God's will that we offer our bodies as living sacrifices to Him. And by so doing, we will demonstrate what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is all about. It's God's will that we keep ourselves from sinful patterns of behavior. This is the will of God, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. That you abstain from, the old word would be fornication, but from sexual immorality, and that we live our lives for Him. Now, we can't do that in our own strength, but we can do it in His strength. But it is God's will that we live that way. It may be God's will that we suffer. Peter talks about that. If the will of God be so, God, keep us from that. But in the meantime, let's understand that God has a will and a purpose and a plan. It's God's will that we give thanks. And this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, to give thanks. And we're going to see in verse 18, it's also the will of God that we be filled with the Spirit of God. So the will of God involves His purpose and plan. And to accomplish His purpose and plan, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When I think about that purpose and plan, I remember when Crystal was home 4 years ago, and by the way, she's home right now, but when she was home 4 years ago and she came to visit with you, we also took a trip. We went to London. And Crystal's quite a travel agent kind of a person. And a couple days before we left, I said, Crystal, do you have this all planned out? She goes upstairs to her room. She comes back down, and there's this real thick manila folder. And in it is everything we needed for the trip. All the passes, all the hotel arrangements, and everything that we needed to do for that trip. She knew what it was to plan. God knows what it is to plan. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. He's accomplishing that. But in order for you and I to accomplish God's purpose and plan, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's what it says in verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And when you understand some of the dynamics of what was happening, even in a city like Ephesus at that time, there was the worship of a Greek god and a Roman god, either named Bacchus or Dionysus. And in that worship of that god, they would become quite drunk. And it would alter their behavior, and it would alter their way of looking at things, and they would just become, do whatever they wanted. And often it led to immorality, debauchery, but that was their form. It was some way for them to feel like they were entering into ecstasy. But the Apostle Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, there is a sense in which that control of the Spirit of God, not the control of wine, but the control of the Spirit of God, leads us to think differently, leads us to behave differently, but not to become going to debauchery, but to live that life that manifests Jesus to others. So when I think about the filling of the Spirit, I think of that dynamic going on, that the Spirit of God now helps us to think what we ought to think and do what we ought to do because we can't do it in our own strength. Do you remember when you came to know Jesus Christ as Savior? There was probably a moment where you said, I can't save myself, and I need Jesus to be my Savior. That decision was important, wasn't it? Because you were placing your trust in Him and Him alone for salvation. When the Holy Spirit is in our lives, and He is at the moment of salvation, we have all the Holy Spirit we'll ever need, but sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't have all of us. And so the Spirit is at work in us, but we've got to come to that place where we realize, I can't live the Christian life in my own strength. I need the enabling power of the Spirit. And that's when we begin to ask the Holy Spirit to take control of us. You see the parallel. Couldn't save ourselves. We can't live this Christian life on our own. But we need the power of the Spirit. Now, the beauty of the power of the Spirit, do you notice from Romans 8, The Bible tells us that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There are two laws at work, that verse reminds us. There's the law of sin and death. We know about that. But there's also the law of the Spirit, where the Spirit of God takes control of us. You've traveled, I'm sure, been on one of those big planes. They are so heavy, full of luggage, and all those people who get on. There's no way in the world that heavy object should ever leave the ground. But it does. Why? Because there's a law of aerodynamics. And when the law of aerodynamics overcomes the law of gravity, that plane begins to ascend. It's an amazing reality, isn't it? The law of the Spirit can overcome the law of sin and death in us. You say, I can't win this battle. You can win the battle, but it involves the control of the Spirit. So to accomplish God's purpose and plan, we want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Reminds me of a word I heard not that long ago. It's called fillability. You ever heard of that word? Fillability. You know, there's only one state in the United States where you can't pump your own gas. What state is that?
New Jersey,
yeah. Used to be Oregon as well, but they've changed some of the laws in some of the counties. And if New Jersey's changed it, I haven't become aware of it. But fillability is the idea that when you have a need and when you have a desire, you can get your car filled. Now, if you pull up to a pump, say, fill it up, and it's already full, you don't have a need. You might have a desire. But let's suppose it's the other way around. Your tank's near empty, and you say, you know, I think I can get a little further down the road. And that desire's not real strong to stop and get that car filled. Then you hope you make it, but you might not. But when there is a need and a desire, you can have your tank filled. Fill her up. So it's true for us when it comes to the Spirit of God manifesting Jesus in our lives, taking control of us. And to be filled with the Spirit of God means that there's a need, and we all have it, and there's a desire. And so we ask the Holy Spirit of God to take control of us. I did that this morning, actually. I did it several times this morning. You see, it's an ongoing filling. It's not just a one-time, that takes care of all. Romans 12 is a one-time experience, and we can talk about the crisis experience that in Alliance Theology, and it really, that involves that moment when I realize I can't live this Christian life in my own strength. I need the Holy Spirit to take control. But because the verb is ongoing, you and I can continue to ask the Holy Spirit to take control of us. To accomplish this purpose, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we've got to let him take complete control of us. We've got to surrender. Let him take complete control of us. One time in Greensburg at the church, I went into the building, and it was very strange. Now, I have to understand, I'm not an electrician, and I don't know much about electricity. But I went into the building, and I noticed in certain rooms, the lights would come on, but the plugs didn't work. And in other rooms, the plugs worked, but the lights didn't come on. I had no idea what in the world was going on. Seems to me, when you turn the switch on, it should either work or it shouldn't. And if it does, the plug should work. Now, you electricians here, you say, dummy, you don't know anything about big buildings and phases. There are three phases I came to learn of in that building. And I don't know if one or two of those were out, but the electric company had to come and fix it. And when they fixed it, then they worked properly. But that idea of the full power of the electricity for the building, the full power of the Holy Spirit comes to us when we learn to surrender to him. That's why I wanted to give you perhaps a way of thinking about what it means to be fully surrendered so that the presence of Jesus can be manifested in us. So I thought, how about a consent form. So I want you to take your consent form, and I hope you have a pen or a pencil. You can actually sign it later, but you'll notice that this is a consent form for God. And your willingness to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit will be demonstrated by your willingness to sign this form. But don't sign it yet, okay, because I haven't told you a few things about it. You've had surgery or some kind of medical procedure, and there are these consent forms that they give you, and they all the things that could happen and all the things you're going to do, and you have to agree to that. And some of you might say, you know, doc, just do whatever you have to do. I don't need no consent form. You just do what you have to do. And that man or that woman, they're not going to touch you unless you sign that form. But you know that as well as I. But all the details that are on it. Well, this consent form is blank. There are no details on it. But your willingness to sign it would be saying to God, God, you can have complete control. You can do whatever you want to do. But before you sign it, are you willing to let God have complete control of your health? Are you willing to let God have complete control of your finances? Are you willing for your son or a daughter or a grandchild to go to a foreign country and serve Jesus? You see, there's a lot of things that we have to start thinking about. Am I willing for God to do all those things? See, he can fill in all the details of our lives, can't he? I did two funerals this week. They're both of the individuals, separate situations. One was cancer, one was COVID, but both of them were 50 years old. Are you willing to let God decide how long you live? You say, I'm not going to be able to do anything about it anyway, but you see, by leaving this form blank, God can write in whatever he wants to write in. And what if the Spirit of God really did take complete control of you? What if the Spirit of God began to manifest the presence of Jesus in a way you don't want him to? Are you willing for the Spirit of God to take control of you? You see, I want you to sign this form and say yes. But really, it is your decision. But you have to weigh the consequences of it, don't you? And the beauty of it is that you and I, if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, have to surrender complete control of ourselves to him. And your willingness to sign this form demonstrates, in my thinking, a willingness to surrender completely to the Lord Jesus. A number of years ago, we had a little freezer. Well, eye level, you know, not a real big one. It had been out in our building behind our place for several years. Hadn't been plugged in, hadn't operated. And I was thinking to myself, if I plug that in and it doesn't have enough refrigerant, will it burn the engine and the motor up? I don't know. I guess I should have tried. But I decided I was going to ask one of the guys at another church I was at. Yeah, he had a secondhand appliance store. I said, Roger, how do you know if your freezer works? And he said, plug it in. That was kind of silly. I plugged it in. It worked. It's still working after all these years. How do you know if the control of the Holy Spirit really works? You got to try it. You got to plug it in. You got to say, Holy Spirit, I want you to be manifested. I want you to manifest Jesus. I want you to take complete control. This passage tells us at least three ways the Holy Spirit's control will manifest itself. It'll manifest itself in worship, singing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And sometimes people have a hard time worshiping. Maybe they lack the control of the Spirit of God. It also manifests itself in gratitude, giving thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it manifests itself in submission, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And God forbid it would ever happen here, but you know there are some places and some churches where there's all kinds of turmoil that goes on, and people don't know what it means to submit to one another, which probably means they don't know what it means to be controlled by the Spirit of God. the control of the Spirit of God becomes the powerhouse for all that's happening in your soul. The control of the Spirit of God is the powerhouse to help you forgive, to help you overcome family sins and all the things that you're studying in this series. It is the work of God's Spirit that does that. And He manifests Jesus in our lives. I do want you to be controlled of the Spirit of God. I hope you could sign a form like this, leaving it completely blank for God to do whatever He wants, to allow Him to take control. And I want you to know that there's no freedom like the freedom of being controlled by the Spirit of God. It's an amazing experience in our lives as He takes control and frees us from those things that are controlling us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, You've reminded us in Your word that the Spirit of God is to fill us and control us. Lord, I need that. We need that. And thank You that we can ask You for it. Holy Spirit, take control of me in this moment. Holy Spirit, take control of each person here who's considering whether complete surrender to You would work or not. Let them plug into You. Let them say, Holy Spirit, take control. I yield. I surrender myself to You. And then, Lord, may the Spirit, the law of the Spirit, overcome the law of sin and death in so many. And may You be glorified in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.